Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I want to be talking about, hope we're going to get time to do this, to talk about what I've been trying to bring up for a couple of days now. If you're an intercessor or you desire to be an intercessor, or if you are in ministry, you're thinking, you know, I need some intercessors because this is getting really, really difficult in some of the ministry that I'm called to do. The Lord just kind of laid this on my heart. And what he laid on my heart is this word right here. This is intercessor or intersuccessor. Intercessor versus intersuccessor. Now, we're called very specifically that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he tells us, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, fulfill the law of Christ. And so we're supposed to carry each other's burdens. By the way, it's not just prayer. It's like all kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. When you are partnering financially and prayerfully with VFN Radio and VFN TV, you're carrying that burden, and everybody that's being blessed, you're a part of that specifically taking place. And when you think of an intercessor is someone who gets in between a situation. You know, the Lord says very specifically that he's looking for someone who would stand between what's about to happen to someone who deserves that to happen to him and God. He looks for a man to stand in the gap. That's what that's mm-hmm. a gap. So an intercessor is a person who stands in the gap. It's not some sort of, you know, a title or a badge to wear. It's somebody that has a badge on their heart of compassion that they don't want deservingly bad things to happen to individuals. They want to be able to believe God that if somebody stands in between that consequence and God, then God would reprieve and not bring that thing upon them. You know, some examples right. of that would be, when you think about Abraham, when Abraham saw Sodom and Gomorrah, he heard what was going to go on with Sodom and Gomorrah. He specifically began to intercede for the city. And because he did not want the people that were in sin there, and there's a lot of different sins there going on, he didn't want them to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. He had compassion for them. He right. cared about the people. So one significant aspect of a true intercessors is they love people. And intersuccessor, which we're going to be talking about, has nothing to do with people. It has to do with all these other things out there. So when you think of intercession, we'll talk, you know, more about that, is it's interceding for God's will to be done and to prevent what a cup of wrath or consequences about to come on a particular city or a situation, something like that. But as a definition of the word inter, I-N-T-E-R, it's inter, and the other aspect of it's hyphen successor, inter-successor. Inter means to bury. Oh, wow. Yeah, to bury. some synonyms of that means cover up, entomb, lay to rest, plant, away, you know, all those different things. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Some opposite things are dig up. So actually bringing somebody out of a grave.
All right.
That's the opposite. So to enter, I-N-T-E-R, means to place somebody in a grave. Mm. Oh, pretty interesting.
Interesting.
And successor, which intercessor is, I'm verbally telling you, when you think about intersuccessor, the word successor is S-U-C-C-E-S-S-O-R. And that's defined as a person or a thing that succeeds or follows. A person who succeeds another in office or position. So then when somebody says they want to be an intercessor, there is another spirit called intersuccessor. They're not wanting to place themselves for the compassion of people in the ear of someone so that deserving wrath does not happen to somebody or deserving consequences. They actually want to put themselves there so they can actually enter that particular person of authority and put them to rest and succeed them in overtaking their place or power by their words and what they speak over them. Mm-hmm. And that is an intercessor. And you'll see these are the ones that have constantly are in the ear of the one who God's called to be the leader of apostles, prophets, and pastors. So intercessors find out where God's leaders is leading. Intercessors. These are the ones who truly have a heart of intercession. They find out where God's leaders are leading, submits to their leadership, seeks out the direction for prayer from that leader. They're telling them, because how can a foot tell the eye, this is where you need to go? I mean, when the leader, the one God's leader over that situation, you know, apostles, prophets, and pastors, when they're leading, they're the ones that lead.
Right.
So it is the leader that gives the agenda to the intercessors, not the intercessors giving the agenda to God's leaders. Or how could a foot give the eye direction? The foot just has to go where the eye is seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes logical sense when you think of it that way. Right. And an intercessor, they show up knowingly doing this, or unknowingly, led by an evil religious spirit, to eventually take over the leadership, the office, or the title of God's chosen leader. Jesus gave the fivefold ministry to train God's people up for works of service, but you have the apostles, the prophets, and the pastors who are leading God's people. Note, not one of these is called the intercessor.
Mm.
Because we found out in Galatians 6:2, they were all called to intercede. We're all called to pray. God's looking for someone to be able to do that. An intercessor is interceding between God and man for God's will to come to pass, not their own will, not even if it's a good idea. You know, they're wanting to know what God's will over that situation is. It's not interceding with their own thoughts and their leadings and their ideas and their unctions and their schemes. It's not taking over the leadership God has called because you have his or her ear, which is commonly used in the Americans' foreign policy type situations, where we call leading from behind nowadays, which is Jezebelic form of leadership. It's someone who had no authority seducing the one in authority to take the reins of that minister in that minister's name under the name of intercessor. I mean, think about it. Jesus himself said to Peter, when Peter's tongue was set on fire by hell, and he simply just shared a direction for Jesus that he thought was right, don't go to Jerusalem, he almost turned eternity.
Mm.
He didn't say, thank you for praying for me. I will, you know, he didn't give up his leadership. He didn't give up his place of authority. And as a matter of fact, he rebuked that, quote, intercessor situation. He rebuked that and said, get behind me, Satan. But he didn't say, he never thought that Peter was supposed to be leading. He never did. And you can handle those things when you know where the leadership is. Who's God called to lead this church? Who's God called to lead this family and what's happening? He said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. So many of these intercessors that I'm talking about, I truly believe are hampering men and women of God, called by God, given authority by God as apostles, prophets, and pastors, are literally held captive by intercessors, and they're entombed by this spirit that just kind of leached onto them in the name of, I'm going to pray for you, who's poured out their heart to these, they don't even have the anointing or the grace to even carry it, who begin to speak their will, who can't even see where to go when God's called you to lead it. And we see it again and again. You think about it, when the spies went into the Canaan land and they were supposed to intercede for the people and come back and report to Moses what's going on, when they spoke to Moses spoke to God face to face. He saw the glory of God. He saw the Ten Commandments carved in stone. He was there when the earth split and swallowed in Korah's rebellion. Who led God's people through these 10 plagues and just kind of led them out, and led God's people through the Red Sea and saw it parted and saw God's people experience the wilderness, the bitter water, the deadly snakes, the manna from heaven, the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. I mean, The hand of God was even around his throat. I mean, he was so intimate with God, but yet an intercessor. Somebody who was going to begin to speak what they thought was right, that was against the will of God, and spoke it into Moses' ear, and he said, listen. And they began to see what they saw instead of what God already said. And the intercessors look around, and they see things, and they learn things, and there's gossip, and they just observe with their own unanointed eye to see things who are not anointed to lead. And they begin to speak into that particular leader's ear. And just like Moses ended up on the ground crying and beating on the ground, just thinking, listen, this thing is over. You know why? Because somebody spoke into his ear to turn him, just like Satan was trying to turn Jesus from going to Jerusalem when he used Peter's mouth. It's important who you put. It's how foolish does it look for us as apostles, pastors, and prophets to walk around looking one apostle, looking at another apostle square in the face and not taking the leadership role in that, waiting to see what's going to be whispered into your ear about the other, an accusation or an accuser. How foolish is that? You turn from your Jerusalem. You turn from the promised land. All of a sudden, you've given up total leadership to somebody who doesn't even have an anointing to lead. They should have been listening to you. But you're listening to them. John Bevere was talking about, and I believe it was a book called The Fear of the Lord, that he was traveling around and ministering, and he went to this particular place in the Midwestern states, I believe, to speak there. He was just going to speak and move on. And after he spoke there, they didn't have a pastor there, and so he spoke and he was going to leave. But all of a sudden, he's got this drawing to this church. It's this drawing that was pulling him and pulling him and pulling him. And he couldn't figure out, why am I being drawn back to that church? That was not in the plans of God for me. I just had this drawing. And so he just battles with it for the longest time because he knew that it was out of kelter. It was out of sway. It was something swaying you. It was pulling you. Listen, it almost pulled Jesus. It did pull Moses. And it's pulled many a men who allow people to pray their will over them and speak into their ears. And so John Bevere goes back and he starts talking to these people. And he finds out that these intercessors in this church, they believed in their own heart that he should be the pastor of that church. And so they begin to pray their will over John.
Wow.
And John began to have to fight with it. He couldn't figure out what was going on. Because you look around and you go, well, I see apostles and I see prophets and I see pastors, the one that God's called to lead and has an anointing. But where is this undertow coming from? Where is this underpull happening in our spirits? Because I'm looking at the people that are leaders and they're not saying anything and they're cool, you know, or maybe they're entombed. They're already entombed in, you know, and the one that's really behind the scenes, you know, leading from behind is the one that's kind of telling them what to do. And this could be spouses as well. Your spouse could be your big intercessor, but listen, if God's anointed you and called you to lead, then they should be asking you for directions. They should not be rolling over at night and whispering something in your ear that totally blindsides you because you're the one telling him or her, this is where God's saying where it's going to go.
Yeah.
You're the leader. Lead. And so once he broke that and he dealt with that, all of a sudden he was free again. He was free again. And I noticed, you know, I've looked through the lattice work of America. I've looked through the lattice work of the church. And I've seen. Isn't that what Solomon said?
Yeah.
And I've seen. This is what I've seen. I've seen people begin to give themselves positions such as, I am in the office of intercessor.
Oh, jeez.
And it's like, you're probably part of the 82% that hasn't read the word yet, but there's no such thing as the office of an intercessor.
That's right.
Jesus gave five, count them, five. And three of those are the leaders. Three of those are the leaders, and they're meant to train you up. You're not meant to train them up.
Right.
And you have to get, you know, if you're not submitted to the leader's direction and vision and where they're going, which means where they believe God is leading the whole flock, you shouldn't be praying for anybody. You're rebellious. You're rebellious. And you're going to entomb that pastor. I mean, so many people say, I just need his ear. I just need his ear. It's like, I'm thinking, you hope you'll get his ear, Lord. Lord, you know, don't get his ear. And you think about it, pastors and leaders, I believe there are so many pastors and leaders out there that are being held back from the will of God as they have lost their leadership role because there has been an intersuccession take place in their ministry and in the name of intercession, and they are no longer leading what God has called them to, but they're actually allowing these people in the name of they're the ones that hear from God, that you don't hear from God anymore, and they're telling you what God says. I mean, just think about that. Just think about that statement. They're the ones that hear from God, and you don't hear from, you're the leader! You're sick. I don't mean that in a negative way. You're not well.
Right.
If you're not hearing from God, you don't just turn that over to somebody who's not anointed to lead. You just go get healed. Go find you another apostle, another pastor, another prophet. Get you a spiritual father in your life who loves you and God's called you to bring healing in your life, because you're called to lead. You can't give that up. You can't give up your place of authority, especially to somebody who just says, I feel like I want to pray for you. And they have no, they're not given to the church. They're not given as a gift by Jesus to be able to do that. Every one of us are supposed to pray. You're not special. You're obedient. And you're rebellious if you're praying your will over that pastor or that minister. I'm just saying. You know, they've left the Father's will and have begun to follow the will of the intercessor. An intersuccession has taken place. They have succeeded over you. They've progressed. They now have the authority of that ministry. This lady, this man, these people have not, they're not apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, or evangelists. They're not. They're not gifts. I'm not talking about those that are leaders. I'm talking about these ones who just say, I want to pray for you. They have taken advantage, knowingly or unknowingly, and Satan has tempted them to take advantage of an apostle's ear, of a prophet's ear, of a pastor's ear, and begin to speak into it. And this is a sign. A sign, if you are an apostle, if you're in a prophet, if you're a teacher, and you want to know if this has happened, put your hands back on the steering wheel. Don't consult with them. And turn that puppy.
Turn it hard.
I mean, be like a kid in a 16-year-old in his first car and say, we're going on a ride. We're going on a ride. You know, turn that ship. Begin to turn that ship. Don't worry if you were dead already. You know, if you were entombed already and they got your authority, this, you don't have to worry about going the wrong direction. You were already wrong. Turn the ship. Turn it around. Begin to make direction changes and watch to see if you have your intercessors who begin to pray with the direction God that you're choosing for that to go, that you've turned in, or you have intercessors who are offended, who feel that you usurp their spiritual authority, who begin to defame you and defame your name and your ministry, and positionally begin to come against you and tell everybody that you've missed it. And then because they've already felt like they were leading, you'll find out, but because they felt like they were leaders, they will take their little crew that they were leading, and they will leave. Mm. And they'll, you know, whatever.
Mm.
So how do you find out if you're not leading? Lead.
Mm. That's right.
Face the fact that maybe you've been so beat up and so torn up, and so many things that happened to you, you actually surrendered the authority of what God's given you to do. And you just go, what do you think? Why don't you go pray about it and come back and tell me what God says? Mm-hmm. And they're not even prophets. They're not even given to the church for that. And this could be a spouse too. This could be a spouse too. One minister's wife said, who was walking alongside her husband in ministry, he always allowed her to, they walked. They just walked side by side in ministry. She says, before a whole group of ministers, she said, listen, this is the year of the woman. The woman's going to rise. And I'm thinking, there's the only other place for you to go is over your husband. There is, I mean, he's never held you back. He's never, you have, you know, you're leading side by side. If you go any higher than you are now, there's only one more step. That's over your husband. Mm. We're talking about people who said they hear from the Lord. They begin to speak into your ear, and all of a sudden you begin to hear him say, this is the year of the woman. It's like, I'm flipping through the Word of God. I'm like, it always was the year of the woman. God loves women and loves men. And it's always the year of men and the year of women. Also, if you have an intercession going on, instead of intercession, they are probably, this is how you feel. This is how you're probably feeling. You've lost your vision. You've lost your ability to see. If you are in a profession or seeing a particular vision, it's all hacked up. You know what I'm saying? You just can't find yourself anymore. You're probably suffering from depression like Ahab was. You are powerless. You know, you're frustrated the way things are going. But when you go to make changes, you find out that nobody's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's listening anymore. You may likely have your power seduced, but also you've been seduced by money, power, sex, or a combination of that. You know, you're caught up in, all of a sudden, you know, what are you doing being entangled again with the things of the world? When God's called you to be leading this particular ministry. You may have even thought about ending your ministry because you can't remember the reason why you're in it.
Oh, wow.
You can't connect anymore. You may have even heard me tempted to even end your own life. If it matures, if this situation matures and just continues to grow, think about it and begin to just mold and take over the role, you think about this, then you've surrendered that entire ministry to somebody who says they hear from God and you don't. If this is true, if they just kind of like accepted it as real, you know, what happens is, you know, you're the leader now. You actually run to your intercessors for help. You run to your intercessors for safety instead of them running to you as the leader, as the shepherd, as the apostle, running to you for safety and for a word. Now you run to them.
Right.
And nobody's surprised. Nobody's surprised. This not to be so. If God's told you, you're supposed to lead it, lead it. And if you said you were supposed to lead it, but God didn't tell you to lead it, resign it and give it to somebody who will lead.
Right.
I'm just saying, I looked at the lattice work. When you're the chief covering, they're supposed to run to you for protection. You're supposed to hear from God. A word from the Lord. Instead, this whole twisted thing, you're running to him, you're running to her, you're running to them for safety, hoping they hear, knocking on the witch of Endor's door.
Mm.
You got a word? You got a word? I'm just saying, if we're going to move into this next room, we got to begin to find out who's God called to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it is, it doesn't matter whoever it is, what God's got. And begin to say, am I in agreement with that? Did God call me here? If he did, begin to rightly relate and say, let's do this thing. And to begin to make that part of your life and begin to carry each other's burdens and this way fulfill the law of Christ. Begin to say, you know, I'm going to help carry that burden financially, prayerfully, you know, physically, whatever it is. And we're all called to intercede. There is no special place of intercession. There's just people that will pray and those that won't, you know. Mm. There's people, and the ones who, there's a lot of people who are driven to do it because they get places of prominence and places of significance, and they become intercessors instead of intercessors. But the true intercessors is that grandmother who you've never seen, who falls to her knees by her bed in the middle of the night and begins to pray for her pastor or pray for the apostle or pray for her children or pray for her city, the one that nobody even knows. That's a true intercessor. Mm-hmm. A true intercessor is a Charles Seymour in a single room in California who begins to just cry out to God for a move of God, and God moves. It's not somebody trying to squeeze themselves in between a gap between, this is what happens. A true intercessor gets in the gap between God and human beings who are about to suffer major consequences because they deserve them. A intercessor is one who gets in between God's leadership and God's people and begins to tell that leader how to lead those people.
That's good.
Period.
Mm.
You know, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, he says, I urge you, first of all, and this is talking to the whole church, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone.
Everyone.
For everyone. I mean, you'll find out intercessors only want to pray for the person in authority.
Hmm.
Right.
They don't want to pray for the one who needs prayer more, which is this man who just lost his job, you know, and he needs a breakthrough,
right,
this relationship. Mm-hmm. They're caught up in that. They just want. This is how I see it. I say, if you see this going on, I don't know if you've ever seen sharks, but you've seen sharks that are underwater. Sharks have these little fish. These little fish that kind of sucker onto the belly of the shark, and they just kind of suck it on to the shark. Mm-hmm. Well, they're getting a free ride off this shark.
Yeah.
But they're always around that shark because, you know, stuff comes off when he eats and everything, and they get something out of it. But they're just kind of like just suction cups, just stuck to God's authority. And it's like, but what about the little widow up the street? What about, you know, what about the man under the bridge? What about, it's just, they're like, just like a blanket over a man or a woman who's in authority. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen, we're all supposed to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you. We're all supposed to pray, and we're all supposed to pray continually. I mean, when you think about this, that somebody says, well, what about, you know, Mike Bickle and the International House of Prayer? Well, I know his fruit. You see his fruit. They prayed the scripture of God.
Yeah.
That is so wise. That would be an atomic bomb ready to go off if somebody just said, you know, hey, just go in there and pray a little bit.
Right? Just pray whatever.
24
you
hours
whatever.
A day. I'm out of things. I'm just going to start praying my will.
Mm.
And understanding that's what we're supposed to do. When you pray the word of God back to God, then you're praying the will of God. That's a true intercessor. A true intercessor is someone who gets between God and men who are doing things they deserve to be, have consequences in their life. And then we remind God of his word and we say, but God, and we pray back his word to him. And all of a sudden God says, wow, yeah, I guess if you could find 25 righteous people, I'll spare the city. Yes, if Jonah, if you go to the city and begin to preach and they turn, you know, he begins to say, you know, we're understanding. And today, mm-hmm. of the intercessor of all intercessors, you know, is Jesus Christ himself who sits at the right hand of the Father. And he is truly in the office of intercession. He sits there and he begins to intercede for us to the Father. And he stands in the gap between us for the judgment and everything that we deserve that's coming our way. Because of what he did, he can get in the gap between us and what would have come our way if we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If we say, you know, I couldn't do this. I do deserve this wrath on my life. And Jesus, I need you. I want you to make you the Lord of my life. When we do that, he intercedes for us truly, and it keeps the wrath of God off of our life forever. Listen, there's a lot of things that can break loose, and things could be just awesome in the church. But we have to begin to ask ourselves, because if somebody's gotten in between the will of God, you got to ask yourself, is this an intercession going on, or is this an intersuccession? Is this an intercession going on, or do I have some intercessors that have gathered around me? That's when this is the sign that when you have a true leader, it's anointed by God, and you're with them alone, and you hear what they say, and they talk clearly because they can lead. But when they go back and they speak to their intercessors, they'll come back to you confused, look you square in the eye. It would have made the day before a lie. They would have totally changed their mind. Now, how could your mind change if you're the leader? If you are the leader, and if truly Jesus gave the fivefold ministry and that's who you are, you know, you're an apostle, prophet, or pastor, and there's none other in the context of that that's there, how in the world can you change? How did that happen? Mm-hmm. It's because you don't have intercessors. You have intersuccessors. And you've been entombed, and you're called to lead. And the very fact that Islam exists proves that we can be very religious and very wrong. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.